Welcome to Ham Radio and More, the program that specializes in amateur radio in the Valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Len Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Len, call 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. That's 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by Antennas West, Wallpaper World, and Portofino Ristorante. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Len Winkler.
CQ, Arizona. Welcome to Ham Radio and More. I hear terrible feedback here. Okay. Interesting. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and today's show is sponsored by Wallpaper World, Antennas West, and Portofino Ristorante. I'm still getting a lot of feedback here. That doesn't help. Okay. Well, I don't hear anything. All right. All right. Please bear with us here as all of a sudden something went weird. Okay, let's continue. Hopefully, am I on the air? Okay, because I don't hear anything at all. I hear nothing. Okay. This show is going to be a little bit different than it has been in that I don't have a guest scheduled. I'm going to entertain phone calls, if anybody has any, at 241-1510, 241-1510. Or 1-800-293-KFNN, 1-800-293-KFNN, and we'll be happy to take your phone calls. We'll have a trivia question a little bit later, along with a drawing from our prize group of cards. I'd encourage everybody to send in your QSL cards, and our address is 4800 North Central, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Oh, that's better. Okay. Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. And I will send back to you a QSL card with KB7LPW and KFNN on it. So please send in your QSL cards. Next week, our guest is going to be Reinhard Geisler, DL1UF. And, of course, Reinhard was born in East Germany and had to escape into West Germany. And it's an interesting story that he has to tell. He's a member of the Central Arizona DX Association. And, again, he'll be our guest next week. The week after that, we're going to be live from the State Fair from 1 o'clock. That's correct, 1 o'clock. It's a new starting time. And it will be, on that day only, a two-hour show. From 1 till 3 p.m., and our guest will be Al Gross, W8PAL, the father of personal use radio. And he will bring with him all the different inventions that he's made. Today I was at, well, we'll go into the Southwest Division Convention, of course, just a little bit later in this show, but I was at his presentation this morning, and he brought his two-way radios, his walkie-talkies that he invented back in 1930s all the way up to the 1950s, and they're some remarkable pieces of equipment, and I encourage as many people as possible to come down to the State Fair and be there live. We'll give away some T-shirts and other gifts, so if you can make it, come on down. We'll also have Chris Townsend from the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club down there with a little portable unit. And we'll have a little station set up, so that's going to be neat, and all the Arizona State Fair goers should be able to see what an amateur radio setup looks like. again, after the 27th of October at the State Fair, we will begin each week at 1 o'clock. So remember that, please. All brochures say 2 o'clock, et cetera, but when the time changes all over the United States, we may not change our clocks, but the time for Ham Radio and More changes till 1 p.m. So please listen an hour earlier. On the November 3rd show, we'll have Oliver Grevy, W7WGW, and he'll be discussing the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group, along with his 2-meter, 10-meter, I'm sure that will get in there, and other things, and also the Arizona Amateur Radio Club, of which he's president, and that is on November 3rd. On November 10th, tentatively scheduled, hopefully we'll fulfill, Dennis Campbell and Charlotte Couch will be here, and we'll be discussing public service. It's quite amazing the things that amateur radio does as far as public service is concerned. For instance, today being the 13th, I'm sure that there's people who are involved in the Coors Light Biathlon that was going on today. On the 20th is the Metro Challenge. On October 27th is the Phoenix Bike Festival. On November 2nd and 3rd is the MS 150-mile bike ride. On November 9th to the 16th, I guess there's a horseback ride type event that is kind of interesting. And on December 7th is the Fiesta Bowl Bike Challenge. If you'd like to participate at all in any of these upcoming public service events, it would be nice if you'd contact Dennis Campbell at 979-6715. That's Dennis Campbell, 979-6715. 6715. His call is KA7VAB, and I'm sure he always needs more help, so volunteer, get involved. They're a lot of fun to get involved with the public service events. On this Tuesday, the 15th, October 15th, the Superstition Amateur Radio Club will have its monthly meeting at 7:30 p.m. at the Velda Rose Methodist Church at the northwest corner of 56th Street and Main in Mesa. And I encourage everybody to be there. In fact, I'll put out a plug. I'm not much of, but I am the presentation or the program part of the Superstition Amateur Radio Club show for this and meeting for this Tuesday evening. And along with me, I'm bringing the general manager of KFNN Radio, and we'll present just a little video of KFNN and the Business Radio Network, of which we're affiliated, and also we'll be able to answer commercial questions. So I invite, as I'm sure the Superstition Amateur Radio Club does, everyone to attend that meeting, and it begins at 7:30. I want to thank Neil Leverance, K9ZSR, in Mesa, Arizona, and I was short a tape from last week's show because for some reason the tape didn't work properly, and he gave me a tape, and I really, really appreciate it, Neil, for doing that. So as I have mentioned many, many times before, if there's anybody that wants a copy of any show that I have done, I'd be more than happy to make a copy for them. All I ask, of course, is a blank cassette to replace the one I use. I'll be happy to copy it. So thankfully this time someone had to do it for me, and there was somebody out there, so I appreciate it. I don't know if anybody is... I'm going to ramble on for almost an hour if nobody calls and talks to me, so I've got all kinds of information and QSTs to discuss. And, of course, our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-5366, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And if you have anything you want to buy or sell, we'll take that. And if you have any club announcements, we'll take that. If you have any questions, of course, we'll take that. And we will talk about the Southwest Division Convention in a little while, but if anybody wants to call now and tell us if they enjoyed it, if they had any complaints about it, what they liked best about it, that would be quite interesting. We could start a discussion on that. So, again, our number, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. 5366. Let's get into the swing of using the telephones. There's a new publication. Again, I'm not sure if the local stores have it or not. I happened to pick this up when I was in Las Vegas not too long ago, and it's called Radio Fun, and it's only the third issue of, and October 1991 was its third issue, and it's you know, no different than QST or 73 or any of those, CQ, but it's in a different format in that it's a tabloid, and it has some very interesting articles, and they don't know that I'm doing this, so I'm just recommending that people look at this. It's made by, the editor is Wayne Green. It's published by Radio Fun. It's published monthly. It's a division of Out to Launch Communications in Forest Road, Hancock, New Hampshire. So if you're interested in this, let's see, they have a phone number of area code 603-525-4201. 603-525-4201. And that's where their offices are. Or they also have an 800 number here. Okay, 1-800-225-5083. 1-800-225-5083. The subscription rates are $9.95 per year. Again, it's published monthly. And it looks kind of interesting. They have letters, of course, and all kinds of other things. And it's written fairly easy to read. There's some buy and sell features. There's a double-edged sword for 40 and 80-meter articles. There's all kinds of stuff. There's advertising in this. But there's a flea market, like I said. But it's kind of interesting. So if you're not at all familiar with this publication, I recommend somebody picks it up and looks at it. The FCC maintains stand in testing of the disabled. The FCC has affirmed a decision of the Private Radio Bureau to deny a class action civil rights complaint of discrimination against disabled persons seeking amateur license. Peyton Moncure alleged that the FCC, through its Morse code requirements, unlawfully discriminates against applicants who are physically unable to use a telephone key or unable to coordinate its use, and sought elimination of the requirement. Moncure argued that the Morse requirement violates the U.S. Rehabilitation Act of 73 and the Americans with Disability Act of 1990. The commission pointed out that its Morse requirements for amateur license allowing operation below 30 megahertz stems from an international agreement, the ITU Radio Regulation Number 2735. The commission also noted that neither of the acts cited in Moncure's complaint applies to the amateur radio service. Neither act supersedes the ITU regulation. There is no requirement to modify a licensing requirement to accommodate handicapped individuals if such modification would result in a substantial alteration of the amateur operating licensing system. The action by FCC memorandum was dated September 10, 1991. The FCC plans a conference to discuss methods of satisfying the growing needs of private radio users in an era of increasing scarcity of spectrum. The conference, to be held November 14th in Washington, will discuss the Commission's refarming proposal, PR Docket 91170, aimed at the regulation of the private land mobile radio service and at making the best use of the private radio bands below 470 megahertz. Three panels are planned: the technology of the 21st century, how to refarm the spectrum, and refarming as an element of overall U.S. spectrum management. FCC Chairman Alfred Sykes will be the conference keynote speaker, and if you want more information, that's 202-634-2443. I have a new sponsor that came on last week called Portofino Restaurante. And they're located in two different places, at 6020 West Bell Road in Glendale, which is on the northwest corner of 59th Avenue and Bell Road. And they've just opened a brand new Portofino called Portofino West. And that's at 12851. That's 12851 West Bell Road. And that's in Surprise, Arizona. And the food there is fantastic. And I have online with me right now John Fitz. How you doing, John? Welcome to KFNN.
KFNN?
Right. John, how...
Oh, I'm a little surprised. Oh, that's you?
This is I. A little loud there, but how you doing today? How's the how's Portofino West doing?
Well, Portofino West has been giving a lot of satisfaction. I've been at a lot of people and making compliments about my decor, my type of food, and my clientele is very nice to me, and give me a lot of compliments about this place that they really say they need a place like mine, and I'm happy I went through whatever I went through and I did it. Finally, we have a nice, excellent restaurant to be in surprise. And this is really a surprise for the people from City West. Really.
How many people can you seat at one time there?
About 130 people.
And, Uh-huh. And let's see, you have Italian food, of course, is your specialty. What is, like, today's Sunday specialty?
Well, we have a spittini. They're very good. They're homemade, and everybody likes it. I'll let you talk to my son. He's the chef. He can explain to you how we make and everything, okay?
Okay, sure.
Let me get you my son, all right?
Okay.
He's the chef at the Portofino West.
And what's his name?
Frank Mamola.
Okay, Frank.
Okay.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to the radio, KFNN Radio. What's the special tonight?
Well, tonight we have Osso Buco.
And tell us what that is for some of us neophytes who don't know.
Okay, that's a veal shank served with the bone in, so served over a bed of rice with a gravy with vegetables. Over the top with the side of vegetables or pasta.
Uh-huh.
And then we also have our fresh halibut that's served with a white wine, lemon, and butter sauce. And we have our spittini. And that's eye-round beef. We pound it flat and we stuff it with breadcrumbs, cheese, mushrooms, and pine nuts. We roll it up and then we bread them. And then we served out with a mushroom and onion sauce.
Ooh, okay. Well, it sounds good. I know that I've eaten there a few different times. I haven't been at Portofino West to eat yet. I've eaten at the Portofino at 59th Avenue in Bell Road. Yours is, of course, just opened, Monday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. Tell me about the desserts, because, you know, I mean, so that my mouth will begin watering here.
Okay, well, first we have our tiramisu.
Oh, that's it. That's the one. That is so good. Now, you make that right there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and tell us what goes into that.
Okay, we have lady fingers. We dip it in a mix of Kahlua, rum, and espresso coffee. Then we make a cake out of it using a sweet mascarpone cheese. And chocolate.
It is so good. I'm telling you, I mean, I have had that there two or three different times, and it is so good. What else do you have as far as desserts? Because you know that everybody wants the sweet stuff.
Yeah, we have our homemade cannolis. We make our own shells and filling.
Uh-huh.
We have spumoni, a tartufo. We have one with white chocolate and one with just normal chocolate.
Okay, and also, of course, you have all the, what I would call, Italian restaurant standards, like lasagna and eggplant parmesan and lots of chicken. And do you have a fresh fish today?
Yeah, that's our halibut, and we also have orange roughy tonight, too.
Okay. Well, Frank, I thank you for coming on the radio. Hopefully, I know that if everybody that goes to Portofino or Portofino West and mentions KFNN Radio, they can get a free regular beverage with their meal. So I encourage everybody to go there, say hello to Frank, say hello to John, tell them you heard us on KFNN Radio, and you can have a free regular beverage with your meal. So thanks again for coming on.
Okay,
okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, and again, their address, Portofino West, is 12851 West Bell Road in Surprise. That's 128th Avenue and Bell Road, and let me tell you, it's worth the trip. And the other restaurante, Portofino, which has been there for over 4 years now, is at 6020 West Bell Road, and that's in Glendale, Arizona also. And you can call for reservations, 938-1902 on 59th Avenue, 938-1902. And the one on Surprise, the brand new Portofino West, is at 583-1931. By the way, the prices are right at Portofino. They're not a high-priced restaurant, and they're not a real fancy restaurant where you need to get dressed up. It's a real, real nice place, and you can go very casually. I took my kids there, and let me tell you, my kids think wearing short pants 16 inches above the knee is dressed up. So you can go any way you want and have a good time, and the service is fantastic. Let's get to the Arizona, the ARRL Southwest Division Convention that took place this last weekend. First off, I want to say that if you were one of or are one of the hams, if you have a license and you're one of the hams and you did not attend this convention, you really missed probably one of the best conventions that has ever taken place, certainly in Arizona. This is from what I have heard, and I mean, people right and left from California, from back east that came to this convention said one after the other that they enjoyed themselves immensely, that they've been going to different conventions for years and years and years, but that they have never been to a convention that they enjoyed as much as this one. It was run well, and etc. And I'm not saying that just because I helped yesterday participate in it. I'm saying it because this is what people told me. And I had a really great time there. And there were many different events, which I'm going to get into a little bit, but one of the events was a youth forum, which took place on Saturday, and just for kids or children or youngsters from 17 and, of course, under. Now, I think there were a few people in the audience that were 7 or 8, 9. I was there just when they were raising their hands for the ages, and they had a good turnout. And online with me right now is Patrick Kelly. Now, Patrick Kelly, now this is a good story. Patrick, welcome to KFNN.
Hello.
Hi. I want to, even before we get into the youth forum, I think it's very interesting to tell the listeners how you became a ham radio operator, because isn't it true that when you first decided to, when you first decided you wanted a radio to talk on, ham radio wasn't exactly what it was you were going to go for. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You want to tell us the story. Now, we don't want to mention any names of any particular companies, but we want to just say what transpired and what changed your mind to not do what you were going to do, but become a ham radio operator instead.
Oh, yeah, I was, I'm in Boy Scouts, and we were going to try CBs for our hiking trip to communicate. And we went around to some CB shops, and then we went into a ham shop, and we were looking for CBs, and the guys yelled at us, kind of twisted our arm, and said, oh, CBs are junky, so. And we got our ham book and just studied and took the test.
And from the day you were there till you passed your test was what, about 6-8 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember you came to the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting and with your dad, who told me he was a chauffeur. He wasn't going to become a ham, right?
Well, he just kind of said that, but we were both going to do it together.
And you both did succeed in doing it, so I welcome you into the fraternity, I guess. But you have not received your license in the mail yet.
No, it's been 6 weeks, but we're still waiting.
Now, I have heard people back east that have gotten it in as little as 4 weeks, so I don't know why they're getting a little late. I know my daughter also passed the same day, so she's eagerly waiting. But Let's get into the youth forum now. You attended a youth forum, and also my daughter did. About how many kids were there?
Well, there was about 15 to 20 kids.
Okay. And tell me about it. Because I wasn't there. You tell me about it.
Well, it was basically an introduction for unlicensed kids to get into amateur radio. They had some licensed children come up and talk about how they got started in amateur radio and what made them get their license. Most of them said their dads and brothers and sisters were amateur radio operators, so they had to get theirs. We did that, and we watched a video about amateur radio in space, about 15 minutes long, and it told you that you can talk to astronauts, and it showed some photographs and videos of space. And that was pretty much it.
Uh-huh. Let's see. You also had Kate Henton from the FCC. She gave a little talk. What did she talk about?
She talked about that the FCC is your friend. Don't be afraid of them. They're just there to do their job. And if you can follow the rules, they're your friend. So she just talked about and the monitoring station they have in Douglas, which was sounds pretty neat.
Uh-huh. Okay, and you basically enjoyed it. The only thing you didn't enjoy is that you didn't win one of the grand prizes, huh?
Yeah, I didn't win the Kenwood 2-meter handheld radio, which was kind of bad, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I know they gave away a Kenwood TH-26A to the licensed hams and a Kenwood RZ-1 scanner to the unlicensed hams, or at least that's what I was told.
Pretty happy with that, and the kid who won the receiver was just showed up there within the last hour of the meeting, and he's about 6 or 7, and he saw this big grin on his face when they called his name.
Okay, well, so you enjoyed it, and I just wanted to get an impression from somebody who was there, because since I couldn't go into the youth forum, everybody seemed to have a good time. Okay, well, hopefully you get your license before the next Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting, and we'll be able to hear what your call is going to be.
Okay, thank you very much, Glenn.
Okay, Patrick, take care.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
73s. Okay, that was just one of the many events, the youth forum that took place. I was told that there were approximately 100 people or more that took VE testing then. And that was kind of neat that we had that many people. I know they were still giving tests up to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I walked over there, and he says, did you want to take your test? And I said no, but they were still offering to give tests as late as 4 o'clock. So Larry Cook worked hard along with all the other VEs that assisted him. I was also informed that there were approximately 1,200 people who attended the event. And that is pretty good. With 8,000 hams, though, in Arizona, we should have been able to produce a few more. But I was satisfied. The activity was definitely there in the seminars. I was at a lot of the different seminars that took place, from Joe Mell talking about tea hunting to I was at Scott Hensler talking about his walking stick antenna. There were a bunch of people there. There was, of course, the radiation and biological effects on the body seminar, and there were about 40, 50 people there with Drs. Schulman, Ady, and also Wayne Overbach was there. At the Packet seminars that were given by, let's see, Brian Kessel, Morgan Hoagland, and Dan Meredith assisted in the first Packet seminar, and then Jim McDonald and Dean Norris assisted in the Packet cluster seminar. There were 60 and 75 people at each of those, so the seminars were very well attended. I was told there were about 80 people at the Jim Stevens from Antennas West seminar that took place on on the morning, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock also. So I was really happy to see the amount of people who went to the seminars. There were a lot of people milling around at the swap shops, at the swap meet. Of course, in the booths for the exhibitors, there were, about 45 or so exhibitors, and they were certainly hustling. There were people from the minute they opened up the doors till the minute they closed it today at 12. I'll tell you where there was a real tie-up. Today at noon, the tie-up was unbelievable for people waiting in line to see if they won their the big prize that was given away, which, of course, was a Kenwood TS-850. And, of course, I didn't win, so I think they should have drawn another ticket. But anyway, there were tons and tons of people there enjoying it. Our number, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN, and encourage your input into the convention if you attended it. The odds are you might be listening and you're not near a phone, thanks a lot, but if you are near a phone, give us a call and if you attended and tell us what you thought. Or if you didn't attend, tell us why you didn't show up. I also had the privilege of being involved yesterday, last night, at the dinner, which was, of course, a steak dinner that also involved giving away some plaques and awards. And also, of course, the honored guest last night, was Senator Barry Goldwater. And he was in rare form, saying all kinds of interesting things in typical Barry Goldwater style. I do have a trivia question now that I remember, which will give away an Antennas West Tiger's Tail if you can answer this trivia question. And it's not the trivia question that some people think I was going to ask. So here comes the trivia question. We'll give away, an Antennas West Tiger's Tail if you could tell me the answer. And it involves one of the more, I don't know if the word important, but one of the speakers yesterday who gave away most of the awards, and that was Fried Hein, WA6WZO. And it's a simple question. We should get a lot of answers for this. It's, again, our phone number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. And the question about Fried is, in what year did Fried become the ARRL Southwest Division Director? In what year did Fried Hein become the Southwest Division Director? And our number again, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366, and you'll win a tiger's tail. So give us a call. Okay, online we have a caller. Hello, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hello, Lynn, how are you?
Okay, how are you? Who's this?
Fine, this is KB7OXK.
Oh, okay. You got your music on the background because
you
turned that music down?
There you go. Is it still bothering you?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Fine.
Thanks for calling. It seems quiet out there today.
I know. I mean, where are all the hams?
Well, the hams are all getting, there were a lot of people still at the convention when I left at noon today. And, many of them are cleaning up, many of them are driving home, many of them are who knows what. And so a lot of them are probably listening, but just not near telephones, to make a phone call. But how are you doing? Have you upgraded? You were a novice last time I spoke to you.
Yeah, I'm a technician now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just passed it last Sunday.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Where did you take the test?
Oh, I took it at Intel. With Morgan.
Oh, Morgan Hoagland?
I think is that the guy you had for a guest?
Yes.
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And his friend Cecil and Bob.
Oh, how many people took the test?
Just me.
Oh, you mean they gave you a special test?
Yeah.
Hey, that's fantastic.
I'm really thankful, that they did that.
What is your first name again?
My first name is Avran.
Okay, Avran.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I knew your voice sounded familiar. I remember the accent, but didn't remember the name.
Right.
So what have you been doing on the radio since you've got your license?
No, I don't have a radio yet.
Oh, you don't have one yet? Okay.
I just been listening lately. I only have 2010.
Uh-huh.
So I just listen to 10 meters and stuff.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, as soon as you can, you'll get a rig. And there's some good used equipment. I know you're in the Mesa area.
Right.
The Superstition Amateur Radio Club, of course, at the end of November has its Ham Fest, which is usually a quite a big event.
Right.
And you have a lot of good used equipment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there a question you had or anything? Or just were helping me out by giving me a phone call?
No, just helping you out, giving you a call, you know, so you wouldn't be...
I'm not bored. I actually have quite a lot of stuff I want to cover, but I appreciate you calling. In fact, we have a winner now on the line, so I'm going to go switch to the winner here, and I appreciate you calling and helping us out there.
Okay, 73.
Okay, 73 to you, and congratulations again. Bye-bye. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Lynn. How are you today?
Okay. Oh, look at this. It's you. I didn't realize it was you. Well, that's good. So how did you like the convention, Carl?
Well, I really enjoyed it. I think it was really well done. The exhibits were just outstanding. And like you mentioned earlier, I think the thing I enjoyed the most was the seminars that were put on. I attended the one that W5VBO and 7MRP put on about Tackett.
Right. There was a lot of people there. At one time, I think there was over 80 people in there.
I got some exposure to the Central Arizona DX Association, which I find really interesting.
That's right. I recall being in their hospitality suite when you were there, and they were showing you how to use the packet cluster.
Yeah, so I've had a lot of fun with that over the past couple of days. Well, it's yesterday. So it was really educational, a lot of fun, and really enjoyed it.
And what year did Freed become the Southwest Division director?
1984.
That's correct. It's right in the program. It was an easy question. By the way, did you perchance participate last night in the Wolf Hung?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No,
I can't talk about it, you understand?
Yes, it's a secret.
It is a special, yeah, so I can't talk about it. I just wondered if you participated. There were about 85, 90 people that participated. Could you imagine 85, 90 people at midnight?
Well,
you know, it was. I'll tell you that if they have an initiation at the next event that you guys or anybody goes to, I suggest that you participate in it. It's really a neat experience, something a little bit different, of course, than we're normally interested in. I mean, you won't have to worry about diodes or transistors or anything like that.
Okay.
or vacuum tubes.
May I make a comment? We took your advice, my wife and I did, and we both joined the American Radio Relay League.
Well, very good. I'm very happy. I'm sure Freed is very happy, especially since you won this this question. And so, two more members to the ARRL. Excellent.
I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, you're going to get QST Magazine. It's well worth it just for the magazine.
Yes, it is, I think so.
So, okay, Carl, AF0X. I love your call. And you will get a tiger's tail. I mean, I know you need another one, but...
No, that'll be another HT I'll have to buy.
Well, you know, if you can't use it, I can use it, or you can donate it to my daughter, because, you know, she's getting an HT, and she'll probably need one.
Well, you know, I mentioned to Jim yesterday, I talked to him,
right.
In his West, and he'll be running me broke.
Okay.
So thank you. Nice talking to you.
Okay, Carl. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. This past week, it looked as though my 1988 Chevy truck had seen its absolute last day. It was over 100,000 miles, and it was dying. I mean, dying. So I called, who else but Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall, and I told Ken, I said, I need a truck as soon as possible. You know, I got a business I'm running, and my truck's dead. I need a new truck. Ken immediately found a brand new 1991 pickup truck. It was a Dodge that would do the trick. You know, I checked the list price after he gave me a price and everything. I checked the list price, and then he gave me his price. Well, let me tell you, as you know, because I speak about Ken all the time, the price was right. It was a fantastic deal, no hassle, no argument, no saying, I want to pay less or anything like that. I mean, he gave me a good discount off the list. And let me tell you, it was a stripped-down brand-new vehicle. So there isn't a whole lot of margins and things like that, not a lot of options. Let's see. But before I purchased it, Ken made a suggestion. Why not see what was wrong with my old truck exactly, get a price to fix it, and maybe postpone buying a new one, especially since I owed quite a bit still on my truck. You know, I was what they call upside down and around, owed more than it was worth. So certainly, I went and I saw Bill in the Oldsmobile Service Department at Linda Brock. And he made a thorough testing of it. Let me tell you, Bill was extremely nice. He called me, told me everything that they found that was incorrect, that was bad, that needed to be fixed, gave me a price. Of course, I get a discount because I know ham radio and more, and I mentioned it, and you get your discount. Everybody else would. And Bill called me, told me what was wrong. I said, let's go ahead and let's get the truck fixed. And sure enough, that's what we did. We had the truck fixed. I got the truck back on Monday. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because this doesn't say that, you know, I didn't buy a vehicle from Ken at this time, but it was Ken's suggestion that I take it over to see about getting it fixed, because I might lose, because the resale value on my old truck just wasn't there. So, I mean, it was Ken's reason. I mean, it was Ken who made me get it fixed and talked himself out of selling me a truck. That's the kind of service he provides. He will sell you what you need at the price you want to pay. So give Ken Nichols a call. Seriously. If you need service, you can go to Linda Brock. They do it right the first time, and they give you a discount. And if you need a new vehicle, call 228-2336. 228-2336. I'm warning you, don't go anywhere else. Call Ken Nichols today. 228-2336. All of a sudden, all the lines have lit up. Now, I appreciate all these people calling in. Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay, Rick, you're on line on KFNN. What can we do for you?
My first time listening to this program, so.
You what?
This is my first time listening.
Oh, well, congratulations. Are you a, you have any interest in ham radio, or are you a ham radio?
Almost soon to be. I just got to take the test.
You just got to take the test. You're going to take the no code or the regular?
No code.
No code? Okay, well, we don't fault you for that. That's why it's there. And are you studying, or are you doing it in a group by yourself or in a group, or?
I'm in a group with friends.
Okay, is it the Explorer Post, or?
No,
but what prompted you to get involved? A lot of your friends want to get involved?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A guy from Radio Shack named Bill.
Uh-huh.
He works out in Coolidge.
How old are you?
14.
14, okay. Well, my daughter, 9, passed, so, you know, I'm certain that you can. And what have you, are you almost there? I mean, ready
almost
to take
there.
The test? You going to go to DeVry in November?
Don't know.
Okay, well, see, in the first Saturday of November at DeVry Institute, Saturday mornings, they have a test every single month. They didn't have it in October, but every other month they have the test. And if you're ready in the beginning of November, first Saturday, I think it's 8 o'clock in the morning, it's about 25th Avenue, 23rd Avenue and Dunlap, they provide VE testing. And that would be probably your next opportunity. You know, you just got to go in, take it, pass it. If you don't pass it, just take it the next month. But, you know, you keep studying. I recommend it highly. Have you looked at any radios yet? You know,
well, I got one. I got a telecraft. And I got a
Receiver. So you're ready as soon as you pass the test, huh?
Yeah, I just have to get a 2 meter now. Your handheld.
Well, 2 meter or 440 or any of those, or 220. Okay. Do you have any questions I can answer, or just want to?
Oh, yeah. When you have to have a radio for volunteer. Does he have to be a licensed amateur?
Yes. In order to get a no code or any kind of a technician license or higher, you must have 3 VEs to test you. So normally VEs are extra class licensees, you know, license holders, and the 3 of them must be accredited VEs to give you the test.
Okay.
3 or more. So that's why I'm saying if you go to DeVry, that would be one place to go. There's also tests, you know, at other times. We just had testing, like I said, yesterday. But if you listen to this show, we'll repeat when there will be tests.
Okay.
All right. But I wish you luck. If you listened earlier, I was speaking to Patrick, and Patrick, of course, he's, I believe, 13, and he passed his exam. So, you can do it. And then call us back as soon as you pass.
All right.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling, Rick.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jim?
Yeah?
You're not calling on an auto patch, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because if you are, we couldn't do that. Okay, so you're calling on your cellular.
That's right.
Which Jim is this?
This is Jim Robertson. I'm KK6NK.
KK6NK, okay. Right. How are you doing today?
Just great.
You're going back home from the convention?
Right.
Okay.
Hope the connection isn't too bad here on the road, though.
No, you're coming in quite well. We certainly got rid of our echo that we had and everything else that we were having for a time there in the beginning.
All right.
So, what did you like best about the convention?
Well, the highlight of the convention for me was going out to see Senator Goldwater Shack and getting to chat with him while we were there.
He is nice. From what I didn't get a chance to go on the Shack tour yesterday, but I was told he gave everybody QSL cards and was being happy to autograph them and, in fact, invited people up there even if he wasn't there.
Oh, that's, I didn't hear him say that while I was there, but it doesn't surprise me. And it's really a great setup, and just looking around in there, you can tell there's an awful lot to admire about the things that he's done in his career, not only for radio, but also for just for the country. I wanted to comment on the format of the convention. I enjoyed it a lot, but I did find that it was a little difficult getting to some of the sessions that I wanted to go to because the sessions being held in different rooms were of different lengths. They didn't start and end all at the same time. And I think having a schedule where all the sessions reconvene at the same time helps everybody to make choices and to move around a little better.
Well, I concur. I would only say that in all the conventions they've had, they've improved a little bit, and on the next one that they will have, it'll be that much better. I have heard that comment. I think the seminars were excellent. If I had a comment to make that was derogatory, the only comment I would have is that there were some sessions I wanted to go to that were being taking place at the same time. Other ones I wanted to go to were taking place. So there were a lot of them that were great that were happening at the same time. This morning was a perfect example. We had Al Gross there, and we also had Antennas and the Law, and we had RFI Hardware Solutions all at the same time. But, you know, you had to make a choice. There are just so many hours in the day.
Yeah, I agree. I had the same problem with making the choices. One other thing that is always, I think, a highlight to me is, you know, a lot of the people that come to the shows as exhibitors have specials on the equipment that they're showing. And, you know, you hate to miss any of the sessions to spend all your time in the exhibit area, so I really kind of wish there were a way to allow a little bit longer exhibit hours, maybe, or even to even give the exhibitors a break in the middle of the day, maybe, so that they stay there an extra hour after the sessions are over in the afternoon or something.
That's a good point also. I think all these are definite valid points, and I wrote them down, and if I'm involved in the next convention we're going to have, they'll definitely be talked about. And I'm looking forward to coming to the next convention, which is going to be in California, right?
Well, I'll be there. That's not too far from my home, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, send me a QSL card when you get back to California, and I'll send you back one. Send one to, if I know you probably can't write but right now, but if you can, to KFNN at 4800 North Central.
All right.
4800 North Central, Phoenix, 85012. I appreciate your calling, Jim.
Okay, terrific, and thanks a lot.
Okay, have a safe drive home.
Thank you. Have a good show.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. 73. Okay. Now's the time to take some concern in the rest of your house, other than just your radio shack, where in your shack you've got plenty of QSL cards, plenty of wallpaper. Now's the time to put wallpaper in the rest of your house. You know, you wallpaper your shacks, now you gotta, you know, you gotta wallpaper the rest of the house. You know, let your wife feel at home, you know. And so, where to buy the wallpaper? But Wallpaper World, of course. From florals, contemporaries, traditional, Southwest, country, textures, grass cloth, expanded vinyls, and more, and all at the lowest prices anywhere. And for Bailey or Levalure or Chic or Duet or wood blinds, Wallpaper World's the place to go. Don't forget they manufacture their own custom window coverings here in Phoenix, direct to you. They also make wood shutters, which 3.5-inch louvers or 4.5-inch louvers, and again, they manufacture them here locally, and they'll install them free in your home. Well, the shutters aren't free, but the installation is, of course. But they manufacture them here and sell them direct to you. So, Wallpaper World, 272-4788. 272-4788. They have 6 stores in the Valley, plus they have a free shop-at-home service available. There's free measuring and installation, not at the shop at home, then you have to pay for it. So you have to call the store, 272-4788, for free measuring and installation. Also, you get 10% extra off if you just mention Ham Radio and More. No matter what their price is, they'll give you an extra 10% off if you mention Ham Radio and More. At Wallpaper World, they make selecting decorating products an enjoyable experience. Online, I have a gentleman named Bruce Diamond, WD9DBL. Was that right? Did I say that right? Bruce?
I think you did.
Okay. Welcome to Ham Radio More in Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Bruce is a longtime friend of mine for about over 20 years now, and he's an extra class ham. And what year did you get your extra class? Do you remember that far back?
79.
Okay. My goodness. 20. That's a long time ago. And he's the one. And the reason I brought him on the show, a couple of reasons, but the one reason I brought him on the show is he's the reason, good or bad. I mean, everybody could be mad at him because of this, but he's the reason I became a ham radio operator, because he used to push me every day. What, did you become one yet? Because I'd be on 11 meters and he'd be yelling at me. And so Bruce gets involved heavily into, is it Racy's that you're involved in out there?
Right. I'm involved in a lot of things, but Racy's is one of the big things that I'm involved in.
Tell me a little about, in Chicago, how Racy's is handled there, as a, you know, so we know how it relates to how we do it out here in Phoenix, because I've been informed that in different parts of the United States it is different.
Yeah, well, in this particular situation, I'm involved with the Lake County Racy's. For your listeners who may not know, Lake County is the county directly north of Cook County. The Illinois-Wisconsin state line. We've got a lot of territory to cover. Lake County Racy's is something that was organized back in the late 50s and was, what I'm told, probably the first racist theater, voice paper theater, licensed in the state of Illinois.
Hmm.
We've got approximately 100 members, most of which are active, which is pretty good for amateur radio. Over the years, we've probably assisted in tornadoes. We have those around here.
Yeah, I remember.
Blizzards.
I remember those too.
No, I don't know. You have to drive a little bit to get to that. Severe power outages, extreme cold weather, flooding. We get involved with providing public service things such as providing communication for races, marathons, walkathons, parades, canoe races, and just about anything else that comes into play.
So it keeps you busy.
Yes, it does. Now, one of the important things to note, and probably one of the major differences, is that maybe in a lot of towns or communities, the Racies organization is a first response type of a rescue organization. Where in this particular case, we're secondary to that, and we basically provide communication. So we are relaying information, forwarding it, whether it be over voice or data by packet radio, and that sort of thing. So we're really just involved in the communications aspect of it.
Well, it's amazing how many different services free of charge that amateur radio gives to the public. Another one being Mars. I spent some time with Robert Sutton, the chief of Army Mars, while I was at the convention, and it's just really amazing what Army Mars, or Navy Mars for that matter, what Mars does for the community, and if the community understood all that it did, it's just an amazing thing. And even Barry Goldwater, Senator Goldwater, yesterday when he spoke, mentioned that he passed, I think it was 300,000 pieces of Mars patches during the Vietnam era, where loved ones were able to talk to their spouses, etc., just because of amateur radio. So the services we provide are unbelievable. We have a few minutes left, and I want to just—I just need to do one thing real quick, and then I want to mention a packet kind of quirk that that Bruce and I have found, and that is interesting. Of course, if we mention this, there may be too many people using it. We won't be able to get through anymore. But let me just take care of this. If you want to work DX consistently without a tower and without an amplifier, a QRV DX half square is the key. In fact, you may find yourself working DX that you never ever heard of before. And although it doesn't require great height, it's unobtrusive, it is a whole antenna with full-sized results. And that is, of course, the QRV-8DX half-square by Antennas West in Provo, Utah. He's also the gentleman, of course, that donated the tiger's tail. He's tried hundreds and hundreds of methods for and different antennas for getting DX, and he finds that the QRV-DX half-square is the fastest, most adaptable DX antenna that you've ever seen. It's made to satisfy a desire to be working DX now rather than next year when you have the budget for a tower and a tri-bander, or next month when your budget can find time to cover up, to come over to help you put them up. So you can get a half square for a single band 40 through 10 or the work bands included. So give Antennas West at 1-800-926-7373, 1-800-926-7373. Give Jim Stevens a call. And he was there during the HamFest, and he provided a very, very informative antenna seminar, and also sold some merchandise, so I hope everybody said hello to him for me. As of October 1st, the last call sign in our call areas given out were AA7KO, KG7UM, N7UDT, we're in the U's already, N7UDT, KB7ODE. So we're going on from there. Do you get involved in the HR 73 bill, Bruce? Has that been brought up in Chicago? The Spectrum Act?
Yeah,
keep them our, trying to keep our spectrum, you know, limited.
It's been floating around, but I quite frankly haven't had enough time to really sit down and see what's going on.
Well, I suggest people still get involved with H.R. 73 and also the Senate bill, which I don't have right in here. Oh, yeah, it is. S-1372, which is the Amateur Radio Spectrum Protection Act of 91. And I encourage everybody out there, whether you're a ham radio operator or not, to send your congressman and your senator a letter saying that you want them to push for the to co-sponsor the bills for the Spectrum Act so we don't lose more frequencies like we lost to 220 to 222. In the last minute, we have 1 minute. I want to thank all my sponsors, Wallpaper World, Antennas West, Portofino Restaurante, and Ken Nichols of Linda Brock. I want to remind everybody that Reinhard Geisler will be as my guest next week, and we're going to discuss how he got out of East Germany and what it's like to be a ham radio operator when there was an East Germany and behind the red curtain, so to speak, or the Iron Curtain, as opposed to being in the West. Bruce, you and I have been able to contact, in fact, we did, to connect on packet directly from Chicago to Phoenix.
That's right.
And it's very interesting. I found out that it actually travels somewhere along the line through 6 meters, and I was told 20 meters to get there. That's what happens with WB7BNI-1.
That's who I've been trying to make most of my connections.
Well, that's where it's working, the Phoenix node. So you stay put for a second there, Bruce, and I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll get right back to you, okay?
Okay, fine.
Okay, again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and the hour went pretty fast. I got nervous there for a while, but we made it. Next week, again, we'll have Reinhard Geisler. And remember, in 2 weeks, the State Fair, and we start at 1 o'clock. Live from the State Fair, 1 o'clock for a two-hour show. So this is Len Winkler, KB7 LPW. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I hope you enjoyed the convention over the weekend. Guys going back to California, have a safe trip. This is Len Winkler, and we're QRT to next Sunday, 73s.